Welcome back in. Thanksgiving Eve edition. We hope you are having a good day, traveling wherever you may be across this great country, this great land, to join up with your friends and family for Thanksgiving, or if they are traveling to you, we hope everybody is going to be able to get to you safely. Buck will be on, by the way, on Friday. Tomorrow, a best of. We will have many of the traditions embraced by Rush in the third hour of the program here for Thanksgiving. We have opened up the phone lines, Buck and I have, to solve all of your Thanksgiving-related issues. As we went to break, Buck with an absolute calumny. The entire South revolted as one when he claimed that rolls were overrated for Thanksgiving. This is like, this is equivalent to walking up and basically insulting a Southern grandma to her face. This is our specialty as a region, Buck Sexton. And you have just said, I don't care at all about your bread, about your rolls, about your biscuits. All of it's overrated for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving. In general, I'm not anti-rolls, but for Thanksgiving, you want to save room for the stuffing, Clay. You're only going to be able to really get all in on one heavy carb there. You're going to have the sweet potatoes. You're going to have, I guess, also a carb. You know, the sweet potatoes, you're going to have the stuffing, and then you're going to have rolls on top of that. Where's the turkey fit into all this? And I think it's funny you think rolls is such a controversial one. Maybe I'll send Jesse a text and tell him he needs to call in and explain his anti-turkey thing. See, here's the thing. I agree that turkey is not always the most delicious meat, the most delicious poultry even. Otherwise, we would eat it year-round. But I do support tradition in this respect.
Well, I like the turkey, and I will say, and I'm going to give them an unbelievable prop here. To me, the Honey Baked company, they have you had a honey baked ham before? Have you had a honey baked turkey?
No.
They have perfected both the turkey and the ham to such an extent that I fundamentally reject anyone who says turkey is not good. First of all, I eat a turkey, and you know this, Buck. I eat a turkey and cheese sandwich like every day. And
you
have
actually
for like
are. You're on
years.
Team turkey year round. You are a strange bird, yeah, Mr. Travis.
I eat a turkey and cheese sandwich almost every day. So I am team turkey in general. But the Honey Baked company, and there's no telling how many more. First of all, it's impossible to even get in. I don't know who owns the Honey Baked company. I would challenge Jesse Kelly and anybody else out there who is attacking turkey that if they ever tried honey baked turkey or honey baked ham for that matter, they would never repudiate the good name of turkey again. Here is my maybe controversial Thanksgiving take. I am a big fan of cranberries and I love the canned cranberry. Do you know what I'm talking about, Buck? Like you just pop the top. It's like a jellied cranberry. Now, I'm fine with the cranberry dish. I understand some people are experts at creating their own cranberry. I like that too. But I'm a big fan of the traditional cranberry just in the can, all processed and everything else. I love cranberries.
I like cranberries. They come.
Are you okay with the canned cranberries? Because some people are furious about the idea.
Well, it's really a lot of sugar. I'm telling you, some of the team in here is giving, some of the New York City EIB squad is giving you the thumbs down, the big thumbs down on the canned cranberry situation.
Oh, I know it's controversial.
So I got to tell you, I like the cranberry. I actually like it when it mixes a little bit with the gravy. For me, the Thanksgiving feast, it's not like little fiefdoms. You know, you have to let all the kingdoms merge into one on your plate. You got to have the turkey, the mashed potato, the stuffing, all these things. And those wondering, yes, they make gluten-free stuffing. That's why I'm able to eat it. So, you know, you mix all these things together and you get that, all those flavors of Thanksgiving at one.
By the way, speaking of mixing together, you being a former CIA agent who also has a gluten allergy, you have to be the only CIA agent who's ever had a gluten allergy in all time.
First of all, we call them officers, not agents. And second of all, it's genetic and it's celiac disease.
I'm not saying that you chose it. I'm just saying, like, if you found out that James Bond were allergic to, like, grass, people would be like, man, I really didn't expect for James Bond to like break out or die of a bee sting, right? Like it's just an unexpected mix.
Look at Achilles and his heel, my man.
That's
all got our weak spots. You know, you look back into Greek mythology, you can see, but they do make some very, very good for those who are out there gluten alternatives. Just going to say that. But the turkey, the green bean casserole, giving all due respect to what I believe is mostly, wow, producer Ali is giving you double thumbs down on green bean casserole.
I kind of think it's overrated too. I'm anti green beans. I've been anti green beans my whole green life. Beans? I think they're an overrated dish in general. I've never liked to eat them.
On your plate? What do you do? I mean, you can't just have
I'm not really a green person. All right. So, I mean, I'm okay with broccoli if it's like designed in some way that makes it taste better than broccoli. But in general, I'm not really one of those people who like loads up their, I like asparagus. Okay. Yeah. By the way, we've got a couple of clips that we need to play and then we'll take some calls, but I want to hit this with us, by the way, because NBC, CBS, all of the media people are losing their minds. We're going to play a CBS take for you about how everybody needs to get COVID tested before Thanksgiving, before the show is over. But Buck, listen to this. NBC reporter Vicky Nguyen says, if you're worried about how much inflation has gone up, you need to charge your guest when they arrive for Thanksgiving.
That's going to make for a fun conversation. Cash. You know, wait. I like it. Call it the Biden tax for all of your Democrat family members. They show up. You say, sorry, need you to pitch in this year because you have to pay your fair share for Thanksgiving.
I love the idea of somebody at their house having basically a Thanksgiving bouncer making people give money to get into Thanksgiving, which is just unbelievable to me. Listen to Cut 20. This is NBC saying, hey, if you're worried about the 6.2% inflation, the rising cost of all your Thanksgiving, you just need a bouncer to take money up. That'll help things.
Etiquette experts are a little mixed on this, but you could ask everybody to just throw in cash, $5, $10. Ooh. That really adds up. And while we are on the topic of something that could be controversial, perhaps forgo the turkey. Bear with me. Ooh. I know that is the staple of the Thanksgiving meal. However, some people think turkey is overrated, and so it tends to be the most expensive thing on the table. Maybe you do an Italian feast instead. And I will say this, if you tell everyone you're having a Thanksgiving without turkey, some guests may drop off the list, and that's a way to cut costs, too.
Clay, can I just say, feels like the communists are winning under this Biden administration. Cut out the turkey from Thanksgiving. What's next? No Santa at Christmas because we have to stay green and avoid the emissions from the sleigh? This is crazy talk.
All right, who should we go to first, Buck, to solve Thanksgiving problems in the Clay and Buck universe? Who do you want us to solve the problems for first?
We got a real one here. Peggy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania says that, well, I'll let her tell us a story. Peggy, welcome.
Hi there, you guys.
What's on your mind, Peggy?
Yeah, we're here.
Well, this all started way back in October with my grandson because of the fact that my husband wasn't vaccinated. We were banned from my only grandchild's birthday. So then it spills now over into Thanksgiving and Christmas. I have been banned from all holiday festivities with my family. And
this is your only, is it both you and your husband or just him? Like, who is not vaccinated?
I am partially vaccinated. I'm following the Johns Hopkins 3 months between shots. Okay. So right after Thanksgiving.
Does your daughter ever listen to this show?
No.
Sounds like a no.
All right. Could we call your daughter and tell her that the risk here is she afraid for her kid? Like, what is the concern? Is she afraid that they're going to get you sick? Like, you as the grandparent are the one bearing the risk. Her children have, your grandchild has absolutely no risk.
Well, first of all, they were one of the very first ones to get my grandson inoculated.
That How old is he?
He just turned 8.
I mean, this is
crazy.
This is people that,
now,
you know, this
the
is
other the other grandmother, though, has some health issues. But just about 4 weeks ago, she twice since he went back to school this year, came down with a very bad cough and a fever. And they took them both times to get COVID tests. Before the COVID test even came back negative, the other grandmother was babysitting. So this really has nothing to do with the fact that we're unvaccinated. It has something to do with what I call the brown shirt movement. You must do what we tell you to do. Fauci has told everybody to get the shot, so you
yes.
And Mark.
Yeah, Peggy, this is real. Peggy, thank you for calling in. It is about compliance. People feel like, and it's more than just about compliance. Fauciism has created a framework in which if you don't comply, you're being reckless and immoral. And that's why people react in this way. They don't even get to the level of, well, what's the real risk? And thank you, Peggy, for calling in from Pittsburgh. What's the real risk level, Clay? Should I get my 8-year-old vaccinated based on the numbers? No, instead, it's the great Fauci says, do this. If you don't, you're putting people at risk. And there's no thought process beyond that. And that's, they're pulling families apart over this stuff.
Well, not only that, they're using a kid who has no risk, Buck, as a reason to justify not getting together for the holiday season. An 8-year-old is under no risk whatsoever. It's ridiculous. Who's up next?
Mary in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi. So my issue is I get together with my family at Thanksgiving, and my sister keeps bugging me about getting the vaccine. The fact that I got it, she didn't get it, which is fine. I don't care that she didn't get it. And I keep getting beef about it from her. And I'm
so she's judging you for getting the vaccine.
Yes. Yes. When we get together and we agree politically, you know, on just about everything, but when it comes up, I don't care that she didn't get it, but she tends to get mad at me, and those
she's mad. Well, so here is the easy answer. Like, to me, first of all, you got to shift the topic, right? This shouldn't be a big battle, right, Buck? I mean,
yeah.
You make the decision to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine. My issue is if people are choosing not to get together because of it. But you're both getting together. I think you shift the topic into something else. Like, you made a choice she disagrees
with. There's nothing productive, Mary, about going back and forth over, you know, your choice. And let me just say, you know, there are a lot of people I know who are very, you know, who are very anti-mandate, and who made a choice, a free choice to get the vaccine. They wanted to get it. They knew what, maybe they even thought there were some risks. So, and this is the way it should be. Like, if you want to, you know, there are some people that are super cautious and they're going to wear a bike helmet all the time. Other people don't, right? I mean, you know, you make your own determinations about what risk parameters you want to make. It's a different thing when it's for everybody else. And so, Mary, I think you're on solid ground. Just sort of say, look, you know, I made a choice. No big deal. Let's move on to something else. Cause as long as she's not worried about being around you, and obviously you're the one who's vaccinated, so that's not a concern. That's what I would say on that one. Thank you for calling in, Mary. Man, Clay, a lot of people pulled apart by vaccination disputes here, and I think Fauci loves it. But we got Fauci saying some really nasty stuff about a friend of the show. Well, I think actually a few friends of the show.
No doubt.
But little mean fascist Fauci is realizing he's losing his grip on the American public consciousness, and so he's lashing out, all, you know, 3'5" of him. We'll get into it when we come back here in just a moment. One of the many things we talk about when it comes to gold is protection. Protection is important for your portfolio. With inflation this year at or above 6% and an out-of-control housing market, there are enough signs your dollar is going to be worth less. That doesn't bode well for the value of your savings account long-term. The way you protect it? With the purchase of gold. When you do that, you're investing in a precious metal commodity that has proven to gain in value over time and be as consistent and steady as you'd wish it to be. I rely on the Oxford Gold Group to make sense of all of this for me. They make it easy to understand the value of gold and how the investment works for you and benefits you. Not only that, but they arrange for your purchase of gold to be delivered to you. So look, if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. Having real gold delivered to your home or having real gold as part of your IRA is just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Still making the complex understandable. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton break it down on the EIB Network.
Well, Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We got lines open, 800-282-2882. And we got a friend calling in from the road, syndicated host Jesse Kelly of the Jesse Kelly Show of our own iHeartMedia. He's driving somewhere, and he's got a controversial turkey take he wants to share with everybody. Mr. Kelly, just telling you, man, we cannot be held responsible for the backlash against your turkey comments.
It's not controversial, Buck. I'm tired of living a lie. I won't live a lie anymore, and I don't want other people to live lies. The truth is, turkey sucks. And everybody listening right now, and I know it's obviously the biggest audience in America, everyone knows I'm right. And if you don't, you're about to know I'm right. Everybody listening goes into a restaurant at least, what, 5 times a year, 55 times a year, depending on how often you go out. How many people listening right now to the sound of my voice have walked in a restaurant with endless options on the menu and ordered the turkey? Never once. Not one person has done it. Why? Because it sucks. You have endless options. If it's so good, if it's so special, why aren't you ordering it out at restaurants? You don't. You eat turkey on Thanksgiving because of some weird tradition thing. You can honor the pilgrims or the Indians or whatever without eating dried out meat. It's supposed to be a special meal, so get something truly special, not something your tradition tells you is special.
This is so controversial. I don't know what's more controversial. Buck came out against rolls on Thanksgiving dinner, and now you've called in to come against turkey. I mean, I don't know if this show's going to be back on the air on Monday after
Clay is just
right
staying
now.
Above the culinary, fracas.
Jesse, I'm curious. Have you ever had a honey baked ham or a honey baked turkey? Are you familiar with that brand?
I am familiar with that brand. I used to live 2 miles from one, so I have had both. And again, honey baked. The restaurant, the store itself is wonderful, at least in my experience with it. Ate a lot of hams from there. And I understand all the different ways to make turkey, Clay. This is what people do, though. We'd be like, well, you've never had my grandma's Cajun-injected deep-fried turkey wrapped in bacon. I could take a dirty jockstrap and wrap it in bacon, and it would taste good. That doesn't make turkey good.
I eat a turkey and cheese sandwich every day. So I am maybe the most pro-turkey man on the planet here. And this outrage, I don't know. I mean, frankly, I think I can feel William Bradford. I think his first name was William, rolling over in his grave right now over this call.
Where are you, Jesse, since we haven't offended enough people's palates yet on green bean casserole? Where do you stand?
I don't eat vegetables, Buck, because I'm not a rabbit. On Thanksgiving Day, I'll be eating tenderloin and fettuccine alfredo and Red Lobster's Cheddar Bay biscuits, and I'm going to finish that off with homemade berry cobbler with homemade ice cream on top. Now, Everybody tell me if that meal sounds better than your turkey and cranberry sauce.
Now, I will say this. Cobbler is the greatest dessert that's ever been created, in my opinion. What's the best cobbler? Blackberry cobbler. In my humble opinion, the best dessert that has ever been created.
I think we can end on a note of coming together on that one. I like cobbler, too. Mr. Jesse Kelly, check out the Jesse Kelly Show, everybody, 6 to 9, syndicated on iHeartMedia. And Jesse, thank you, buddy. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Be good, boys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right now, Tunnel to Towers is making the holidays brighter for our nation's Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young kids and seriously injured veterans and first responders. They will take care of you, and they will be glad. You will be glad that they did it. All you have to do is make sure that you get your opportunity for them to take care of you. All of this possible because of your generosity. Support America's greatest heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Go help them today. Do the best business and work they can. T, the number 2, T.org.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
There may be verdicts coming down in the very short-term future here in the Ahmaud Arbery case down in Georgia. We will get you the updated details, may even be able to go live to those verdicts. Neither Buck nor I have followed this case, to be candid with all of you, anywhere near to the same degree as the Kyle Rittenhouse case, but it is a case that has received substantial amounts of national attention. And I know many of you have followed that case. So we will bring you the absolute latest as that verdict comes down, just giving you an update of where we are going on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving in terms of what might happen there. A lot of you still wanting to weigh in. Jesse Kelly, by the way, fantastic, coming off the top rope on turkey. Buck coming after rolls. And a lot of you have issues that you want us to solve here on this Thanksgiving Eve special. Buck, who should we go to next?
I think we should go to the judge
to the verdict
in the Ahmaud Arbery trial right now. Let's go to it.
Please hand your verdict forms to the sheriff.
Handing over the forms to the judge right now. The jury is convened. We have three men here, Clay, charged in Ahmaud Arbery's death, about to find out their fate from this jury. The judge still lining up papers on it, trying to get ready for the actual official recitation of the jury finding.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and address each one of these verdict forms separately. The first verdict form I have is the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael. Mr. McMichael, please stand. Verdict is as follows. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael, case number CR000433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court, please.
We have one guilty verdict that just came down here for everyone listening. For Travis McMichael, for malice murder, someone had an outburst, being removed from the court. We are live right now with the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial verdict. One guilty verdict just came down for Travis McMichael for malice murder. Clay, looks like they're still trying to...
indicated,
here we go.
I ask that there be no outbursts in the court, and I expect as much from the gallery. Please respect the court's desire for this as we move forward. If you feel like you need to make a comment or otherwise demonstrate with respect to the verdict, I do ask that you step out of the courtroom now. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Dated this 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson. Have a seat. As to Gregory McMichael. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, the State of Georgia versus Greg McMichael, case number CR 200-00433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. we, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count 7, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count 8, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count 9, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. This 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the fourth person. As to William R. Bryan. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia. State of Georgia versus William R. Bryan. Case number CR2000433. Jury verdict form. Count 1, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count 2, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count 3, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count 4, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count 5, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count 6, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan not guilty. Count 7, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count 8, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Count 9, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant William R. Bryan guilty. Signed this 24th day of November by the foreperson.
So those are the verdicts coming in here, Buck, and obviously some of these not guilty verdicts going to the particulars of what these guys did and how that applies in terms of their responsibility.
But they were all just found guilty of murder, so they're all murderers now, effectively.
The big picture here is they're all going to go to jail for a long time in these cases. You just heard all of those verdicts coming down, and this story, I would imagine, will be greeted with a measure of support for this jury by the Biden White House, as opposed to the jury in the Rittenhouse case. What I would say in general is what the president should be saying is juries deserve the responsibility and obligation to be able to do their job without the leader of the free world trying to weigh in on what they should or should not do. And as citizens of the United States, and this is me speaking as a lawyer, we have the best justice system in the history of the world. It is imperfect, but in general, juries tend to get far more right than they do wrong. You and I have not watched this trial to the same extent that we did Kyle Rittenhouse.
It wasn't, to be fair, also, it wasn't really possible. The two trials coincided at one point, and they were both being live streamed, so you wouldn't have been able to watch them both, at least for some parts of it. Also, I have to say, I thought this was going to be the verdict. I'm not surprised this is the verdict. The video in this case was damaging for the defendants, as opposed to the video in the Rittenhouse case, which was entirely vindicating for Kyle Rittenhouse. The video showing Travis McMichael and the two others here, the headline, so to speak, here is all three found guilty of a murder charge. Travis McMichael found guilty on all counts, top to bottom. So there'll be, I'm sure, a lot of further analysis and media discussion and scrutiny around this case. And Clay and I will break it down for you more once we've had a chance to look through additional details and some of the jury thinking on this. But it is now guilty for all three men for at least one count of murder in the Ahmaud Arbery shooting, now the Ahmaud Arbery murder. So we will update you on this as it comes along. Clay, got to talk about something very different right now.
No doubt. Salvation Army dedicated to doing the most good by meeting the needs of people who are in need of assistance. Every year, they help more than 30 million Americans in poverty battle daily challenges, and you can help ensure hope marches on this holiday season. Do you know that there is a lot of people, as the holidays get here, that are having a lot of difficulty out there? There's economic pressures. There's the difficulty of having to choose for many parents between paying bills or buying Christmas presents. And that's why in a typical year, Salvation Army can provide new clothes and toys for 1 million kids who would otherwise go without Christmas gifts. Anonymous donors can adopt these little angels in an expanding Christmas tradition that makes the season more rewarding for the gift giver and happier for those kids who are receiving these gifts. Make sure hope marches on this Christmas season by dialing right now #250 on your phone and saying Salvation Army. You'll have the opportunity to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message that links to a donation form. That is #250, say Salvation Army.
Now, I remember making a prediction. I know how resilient you are, and I know that you people don't just sit out there and take it. You're going to do what you can to overcome. You're not just going to sit there and take it.
Words forever etched into the heart of America. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, inspired by Rush on the EIB Network.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We just had for you live as it broke the Ahmaud Arbery shooting trial. Ahmaud Arbery was killed by three men. They were found guilty, all three men guilty of murder charges and a variety of other charges on top of that. If we have any updates for you on that, anything new, we will certainly bring that to your attention. In the top of the, well, in a few moments, in a few minutes, we'll discuss where we are with COVID going into this Thanksgiving season, because on the one hand, you got a lot of people that are worried about the vaccinated status of their relatives who are showing up. But there's also the concern about why is Europe having such a huge surge in cases and hospitalizations? Why are so many vaccinated people now ending up in the hospital? It's not just breakthrough infections anymore. Is it even a little bit intellectually honest to call this a pandemic of the unvaccinated anymore? We'll address some of that and then have some change gears and have a little more Thanksgiving fun toward the end of the next hour. We have, let's see, Ed in Elk Grove, California. Ed, welcome.
Hey, Clay and Clay and Buck.
Well, yeah, I'm Buck. He's Clay. It's cool. Whatever works.
Hey, guys.
You've been called worse. Trust us.
I have a problem with family and trying to talk to them about things that are going on, COVID and everything. So my daughter, she's coming over with her husband. They're both teachers. They've both been educated in the California college system. But they, you know, they weren't raised that way, but they turned out to be kind of crazy and really hardcore. And they blame the condition of the country on people like me, the person they're coming to have Thanksgiving with, you know.
Probably the person who paid for your daughter's school, I would bet, too. It's ironic that you're to blame for everything that's going wrong with the country.
Yes, how'd you know? Anyway, so I am wondering how I'm supposed to talk to them about it, because my daughter was complaining the other day about prices and the cost of everything. And I said, hey, so what do you think of those gas prices? She goes, oh, my gosh, terrible. And I said, maybe you should think about your vote. And she's like, and she didn't say it. They won't take any admission. They don't mention the B word and they don't talk about it.
I mean, Ed, I'm going to tell you this right now. The chance for you or anyone listening to get someone who is a Biden voter to admit the wrongness of their vote over the Thanksgiving dinner table, I'm not saying it's zero, but it's going to be a tough one. People like to dig in, and they'll say to you that it's early. They'll say that, what about the insurrection or whatever? They'll avoid accountability for their poor decision-making.
Here's what I would suggest to people out there who are, you know, you don't really want to relitigate what's already happened. I think you start to focus on the future, right? What are you going to do in 22? What are you going to do in 24? And this is honestly a bigger picture, and thanks for the call. A bigger picture issue that I think Republicans are going to have in general, Buck, is if the election in 22 and 24 becomes about 20, it diffuses the ability to win and kick ass. And I understand there are people who are angry about 2020, but elections typically are about the future. And so to me, what you should focus on is not the people you're angry about who voted a way you don't like in 2020. You should focus on 2022 and helping them to come to rectify their decision in 2020 by voting in 2022 and 2024 in a forward-looking process. Does that make sense? Because I think that's how you win. If you look back, then you're relitigating the past. That allows them to make Trump an issue. Don't let them do that.
And
Biden stand up for his own decisions.
If a lib tries to, thank you for calling in, Ed, from California. If a lib tries to corner you, just be like, look, honestly, none of this matters. Climate change is going to kill us all in 20 years with the giant flood. So just pass me the turkey and shut up. There's always that option, too. You know what I mean? Just be like, fine. I give in. You're right. We're all going to drown like the polar bears because of all the CO2 in the air. Whatever. Pass me the gravy.
By the way, Nancy Pelosi, $25 million house. It's pretty close to the ocean. It doesn't seem like she expects to drown. I know.
Florida, folks. That's where Pelosi wants to spend.
Super libs. Buying beach houses.
I thought Florida was where the COVID wasn't thought of as real, and it's so scary and dangerous. Pelosi, $25 million on a house on the beach.
On the beach.
But, you know, she's worried about climate change. It's so scary, the climate change. All right, Ronald in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. What's up, Ronald?
Gentlemen, I come from seven kids, no dad. My mom really struggled. But she could make a turkey last a month with leftovers. I hate turkey. I hate the smell of it. She would make like casserole, like turkey on pancakes with gravy. A lot of people like that. But dude, I just wanted to reach in the refrigerator and get a bologna sandwich. And the bologna smelled like turkey. I can't stand the smell of leftovers. I love my mom. She was a great girl. I miss her immensely. But seriously, You open up a Tupperware container of turkey, man. I'm done.
A lot of people out there hating turkey.
Yeah, people up there, thank you, Ronald. They were saying, oh, but it's got so much tryptophan, and that's why I'm sleepy. No, it doesn't have that much tryptophan in it, and you're sleepy because you're eating a lot, and your body's got a lot of blood flow to your belly, and that's the way to do it. You got to slip into a food coma after your Thanksgiving feast, or else you're doing it wrong. We have James Golden, Mr. Bo Snerdly, joining us here in just a few moments about what Thanksgiving meant to Rush and this audience. Coming up.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.